Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
Now to an interview that could turn out to be quite a defining conversation. Can I kick it off with a bit of a confession? I have never been able to get the fantasy genre, whether it's books or films. It's been a running issue or gag in our family, as they all get carried away with Lord of the Rings and Harry Potter, and I just like stuff more, well, real. And they keep saying, oh, Dad. But all that might be about to change with my next guest, maybe also with your help, because I think this is worthy of a good open house conversation. 1300 40 2020 or post on our Open House Community Facebook page. What is it about the fantasy genre? Films, books, that hooks you in, if it does. You're in very good company, if it does. Some of the great thinkers, ranging from Carl Jung, J.R. Tolkien, Albert Einstein, George Lucas, George MacDonald, C.S. Lewis, they've all espoused the virtues of fantasy and fairy stories to uplift the human spirit and ask the important questions of life and even to teach morality. I admit I am the odd man out, so convince me, what is it that hooks you in to fantasy? Can I change? Maybe. Maybe you're just like me, totally unable to get it. Maybe I'll need a bit of moral support from you. 1300 40 20 20 or post on our Open House Community Facebook page. Lisa Saul is an Aussie Christian writing in the fantasy genre. Her first offering is the Bloodline series, and she's done a lot of good thinking about this arena of literature as well as write it. And she joins us on Open House. Lisa, welcome.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Thanks very much for coming in. So did you consciously decide to write fantasy? Did it not occur to you to write anything else, or did fantasy kind of choose you?
I've always loved fantasy. I have always written fantasy since I was about 8 years old. It probably wasn't till I was in my early 20s that I discovered that fantasy for me could be a voice. It could be my way of addressing some of the issues that were troubling me at the time. I found that life around me, the news that I saw, was robbing me of sleep and hunger. I was so distressed by it. And I remember at one point praying, Lord, either take away this big anger that I have or give me a big voice. And as fate would have it, I had a conversation with a man who was so racist that I thought he must be joking. He was so hateful for people who were simply different to him, and I was so worked up by that conversation I decided I had to have a right of reply, and I turned my thoughts to a book that I happened to be writing at the time, and I was writing it just because I loved writing fantasy and I love a good story, and my thoughts turned to that, and suddenly the book, it's like it clicked into place. It's like I saw fantasy was this extraordinary way of showing to him what I couldn't tell him. I can't say you're wrong, but I could show him by separating him from his world and putting him in another world where he is forced to feel the things that I want him to feel.
And do you create your own world?
I create my own world. I tell people that I can get past the baggage that people carry when they address issues of this world. For example, if I said to you the term Middle East, you're going to come to that term with ideas that the media have put into your head. You might come with prejudices. Everybody carries their baggage when they come to that particular term. But if I said to you to throw races that I've come up with, say if I said to you Corsicans or Tessians, well, you know nothing about that race. you haven't thought about them, and you're going to think and feel what I want you to think and feel about that particular race. And in that way, you've let me in. Like, I've just got past your baggage.
Yeah.
With those races, and you've let me in. And I found this extraordinary way to parallel our world, get right inside people's heads and make them feel the things that I wanted to feel, even if it was making you think the race is bad and then showing you later that you were wrong, you know, showing your prejudices because you had lack of information. I was your only guide, and you're going to think and feel what I want you to think and feel.
So. It must feel a tremendously powerful but also freeing and liberating position to be in, to create this kind of new world and say what you want.
It is very liberating. I mean, it's liberating for so many reasons in that it there's no limits on my imagination, but I can address issues that are so thorny, and I can't tell you how racism affects the world. I can show you by making you step into the minds and thoughts of these other races, other characters, and feel what they're feeling, and expose the destruction that this kind of thinking causes. I also discovered as I was writing the book that it was so much more powerful than even I thought. It was originally a metaphor about racism, prejudice, and what it does. And then I discovered that this is perhaps the only genre, and people can argue me that there are others, but the only genre where I can freely talk about God, because in fantasy, the supernatural is just expected.
That's absolutely.
There is a deity, and it's a very interesting irony that in life we say evolution, you know, is true, and yet in a fantasy world, if I said, oh, the world just happened, they go, well, that can't be.
The
world
can't
just happen.
No.
There has to be a God.
Yes.
So who is he? What does he do? And I was able to go further than even I imagined and start talking about the God behind these events, you know, behind the racism and why it matters, why racism is even an issue in our world, you know, and the great cosmic events behind the fates of man, basically. And I could talk about ultimate good and ultimate evil, and suddenly it all just can make sense because it's in the context of a bigger picture.
Yes. So give us a sketch about Bloodlines. What's it about? Where does it go?
Bloodlines, that, you know, that's actually the question I fear the most, because it's about so many things. Yes. I can't summarise. But
yeah.
I can tell you, it starts off very simply. Ideally, you want a really good story in fantasy. Otherwise, all the messages in the world won't go anywhere. They're not going to get read.
Too right.
People,
yes.
You know, they want a page turner. It starts off with a young thief girl. She's an orphan. She's living on her own. And she rescues a group of strangers from torture and certain death, and she receives a near fatal wound for her trouble. They then take her on, they nurse her back to health, and she travels with them for a while, but she's constantly trying to go back to the life of a thief. She's constantly trying to run away from them because she carries with her an enormous secret that, if exposed, is going to kill her. And as she goes with them, she discovers that they too carry enormous secrets. You know, she hears whispers, she catches glimpses of things, and they're trying to hide from her, and she's trying to hide from them. And very quickly, their secrets start to clash and collide. And in the end, that, you know, their secrets end up setting the world on fire. And that is just the first few chapters. So you can see it's about many, many things.
So. Yeah. So your main character, Shanna, is a thief and an outlaw, but still a heroine.
She is. I really like dysfunctional characters because I believe God keeps choosing the dysfunctional ones to show his purpose. And obviously in the end she is, you know, one of the heroes. She has a really big role to play. And I think it's through her imperfections that you see that the extraordinary cosmic events can only have been God that led her through her path, because she is so dysfunctional. I do tend to empathise with the dysfunctional characters more. And
yeah.
I also think it's a great way to explore so many other issues. For example, you learn very quickly on the first chapter that her father was killed, and she saw her father die, and he was killed at the hands of a very manipulative, conniving race. And she is just bent on revenge. That's her thing. And that revenge collides when one of the members of the group who comes in later happens to be of that particular race. So,
wow.
Of course, she now has to deal with her issues, and does she get revenge? Does she forgive? Is he responsible for the death of her people, because this race pretty much has slaughtered all of her race?
Yes.
So, and you learn pretty quickly on that she's the last one. So that was a really good way to explore forgiveness,
yeah,
which comes into the book.
And who could question it in that context? On Open House tonight, we're with Lisa Saul, the author of the Bloodline series. So what about you? Does the fantasy genre float your reading boat? Are you able to get it? and how it's filled with ideals of courage, loyalty, and honour. Is imagination more important than knowledge, as Albert Einstein says? Convince me, or maybe you're on my side. 1300 40 2020 or post on our Open House Community Facebook page. Lisa, whether it's Harry Potter, Twilight, Lord of the Rings, or the Narnia series, the best-selling books and films are mostly these days about fantasy. Why do you think that is with people young and old? Why have they got an appetite for this genre as they have?
Yeah, I would argue that everybody's into that genre. I think it's not just young people. That's a mistake that we make to think that it just attracts young people.
Yes.
And often I get the question, oh, so you write children's books? And they No, I do not write children's books. No, you do not want your children reading my books. I tend to think that the more that we take away, you know, it's such an empty world that we're living in at the moment. There's evolution is it, you know, that there's no supernatural. There's nothing beyond what you can see, hear, touch and feel. And I think that deep down we know that's wrong. We know that there is a supernatural. We know that there is something bigger. And I think for that reason we tend to crave fantasy, because it gives us that something to fill the emptiness, because, you know, all of life is more than what we can see, feel, touch. It's more than chaotic random events. It's a bigger picture. It's a story that's been going on since the beginning of the world and will end at the end of the world. And I think we, deep down, we know it.
We're wired for it.
We are, yeah, definitely.
The Australian fantasy author Kate Forsyth says something interesting, that there are few forms of contemporary literature that are able to address the deep, troubling questions of life more than fantasy. What's she talking about there, do you think?
Fantasy is such a good opportunity to show the bigger picture that is going on. You know, in most genres, most stories are just little glimpses of life as we know it, whereas fantasy just explodes open into the big picture of there was a creation. You know, often fantasy talks about creation event.
Yes.
There is a god or gods, deities. There is a fate of the world. There is a hero that's going to come and save us. It's like fitting story into a massive picture, whereas every other genre is the little glimpses of story. And I think for me, that's why fantasy can explore meaning beyond anything else, because that is life. That's the big story.
So you're quite determined to inject God-like themes in your books. Why do you do that? Why is that important to you?
I think I can't help but inject God-like themes into my books, because that's my worldview. And every writer, no matter how much they argue the opposite, they insert their worldview
into
a book. They're just going to do that. And I can't help but put these things in. But I think to be quite honest about it, when I started writing the Bloodline book and it became about racism, at that moment I definitely feel that God took my hand and said, okay, now the book's mine, because it just became so much bigger than even I imagined. It wasn't going to be about the cosmic events. It wasn't going to be about a metaphor for the great redemption of man. It was just going to be make people feel angry about racism and hopefully they'll want to make a difference. And he really took my hand and he exploded the book into something even I didn't see, because I had it fanatically planned. This is what it was going to be. And all of a sudden, all these things started coming in. And in the end, it was two books. And it was just this extraordinary story that I just had to step back and go, well, I didn't write that, but I know that God did. So,
what an amazing process. What a wonderful process to go through. Perhaps sometimes infuriating. What's this becoming? But I think, what a tremendous experience that must be.
Oh, it's extraordinary. There's one chapter in the second book that every time I doubt, maybe it was just me, maybe it was my subconscious being really clever, maybe it wasn't God. There's one chapter in the second book that is the creation story, and I really got stuck at that chapter because I didn't know how to explain how, you know, how the world came into being. to show how the world came into being, put it that way. And I remember saying, well, Lord, you were there, I wasn't. How about you tell me what happened and I'll just put that in. And that night I had this extraordinary dream that was so vivid. And it was one of the most beautiful dreams I've ever had. And it was about a voice and a song and the wind. And next day I just wrote it down. And about a year later, after the book came out, I thought, oh, maybe it was just my subconscious being clever, you know, all the doubts that writers go through, the ups and downs. And that very day I got an email from somebody saying, I felt God in that chapter. It was extraordinary. I cried when I read it. And a couple of days later, somebody else said the same thing. I said, I felt God in that chapter. It was amazing. And I said, well, wow. God told
that
me.
I've never heard that kind of stuff from an author before.
Oh, really?
No. What an amazing experience. What kind of feedback have you had, in addition to that, from your readers?
I've had amazing feedback. The book has just, like I said, it's just gone so far beyond what I imagined. I'm getting emails from people saying, I was just so challenged to think about forgiveness. It's changed my life. I've gone and rung my mum, who I haven't spoken to for years, and said, I need to forgive you. And I've patched things with my husband and things like that. So, the theme of forgiveness that, you know, I began with has really challenged people in ways that I hadn't imagined. And, you know, other people are saying, I got this letter. This might appeal to you because you don't like fantasy. I got this letter
I'm liking it more and more, I must say.
I got this letter from a professor of a university who bought my book on a whim and wrote to me and said, I never knew that fantasy could be like that. I never knew it could be so challenging, so emotional. And a lot of people have written and said, I've never felt something in a book like I felt with yours, because I very much try to make people feel. I think we live in a very numb world where there's so much suffering around us and we are so immune.
Yes.
You know, we watch the news, we see suicide bombers, we go, okay, and we switch it off. And that's the society I'm coming into. And I'm trying to make people feel about suffering, about injustice, about the wrongs, you know, what they've become immune to. So
it's a wonderful vehicle.
It is, definitely. And I think fantasy is very undervalued as a way to reach our world, as a way to change the world. You know, my goals are very simple. I want to change the world. That's, you know, that's just...
That's all. And what about tomorrow?
That's right.
So what's next for Lisa Saul?
In terms of books, I'm currently writing this extraordinarily big book that...
Why does that not surprise me?
It was supposed to be small, and I thought, 100,000 words and I'll be done. And I got to 100,000 words and went, another 50,000 I should be done. And then I got to 150, went, another 50,000 I should be done. Well, I'm now up to 400,000 words.
Oh, good grief.
And it's still going. But the issue that was really weighing on me at the time was the concept of false religion versus true religion, which is, you know, caring for the orphans, the widows. It's about social justice. It's about these kind of things. It's not about sitting in a church on Sunday. So it's the storyline is subject to change without notice. But that is the point of this book, because it was weighing so heavily on my mind, I knew I had to say something about it. So
I have, in all honesty, thoroughly enjoyed talking with you Open House. I've had a great treat sitting here. I will put Bloodline on my pile of books. There you go.
Okay.
You've won me over on this one.
Well, I tend to challenge people. Say, just give me the first few pages, and if I haven't hooked you in, put it down. But it's kind of a pick-up-if-you-dare book, because it
I'll
is a page-turner. So
you've won me. Seriously. Lisa Saul, thank you so much for joining us on Open House. Lisa is the author of the Bloodline fantasy series, and it's available, the first one, Lisa, for free. Why did you do that, and what are the details?
I got to a point where I decided, is it about sales or is it about people reading the book? And ultimately, I just want people to read the book. And I woke up one morning with the words in my head, be generous because your Heavenly Father is generous. And I said, that's it, I'm giving it away. So I've stuck it on my website as a PDF. You can, for the probably for the next month or two, you can just go and download it anytime you want. Give it to all your friends. I don't mind. I just want you to read it.
And what are the details? The website is?
The website is www.lrsaul.com. That's S-A-U-L, with L.R. Saul being the name on the book. That's my author's name.
We'll put the details up on our Open House Community Facebook page. Lisa, thanks again.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology Solutions. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.